Hi everyone, this is Mike Lipkin, co-author of this fabulous book called You Belong Here. Thank you, Diane. How to Make People Feel Safe to Be Their Best, Take Bold Risks and Win. And I'm here with my co-author, Dr. Diane McIntosh. And what we try and do in these short podcasts is choose an important part of the book and then engage in conversation around that, so you can take some of the key insights from the book away with you. And of course, if you like what you hear, we invite you to purchase the book on Amazon and leave a review. So today, we have a very interesting topic, which is what we brand as the five facets of faithworthiness. Now, let me define for you what faithworthy means. So faithworthy means that people can believe in you, not just depend on you. That's called trustworthiness. Trustworthiness is table stakes. It means that people don't have to worry about your performance. Faithworthiness, on the other hand, is a game changer. It means that people are uplifted by your presence. They are proof that they can win. Sorry, you are proof that they can win, and you are a safe harbor when they don't. If you are someone who's faithworthy, then the best and the brightest will be magnetized to you because you will bring out their best and you will help them get through the challenging moments. So for me, Diane is faithworthy. This book would not have been possible without my partnership with Diane. She certainly uplifted me to play at my best, and she certainly helped me get through the tough moments. And Diane, I hope the feelings are mutual. Absolutely, yes.
Like, but I have a great colleague, and she often talks about your brand and how important your brand is. And I think your brand is golden if it's rooted in faithworthiness. I think, to your point, you know, that trustworthiness is table stakes. I got to trust you as a teammate, but having faith in you, having a sense that you are my partner in this journey, and that we can rely on each other in the ups and downs, that's like our relationship. And it really does go to your brand as a teammate, as a leader, as a friend, your faithworthiness.
Yeah, so good. You know, I've got a little shirt on here, and it's got this little Levi's logo. And I'm just a big believer in Levi's. I've got about 14 pairs of Levi's, and I just find it inconceivable that anyone would throw a pair of Levi's away. So apparently, I've got Levi's that I bought maybe a couple months ago, and I've still got the ones I bought 30 years ago. And you know what, Diane? They still fit. That's the best thing. But
are you bragging now? Like, seriously, Mike?
I am. I'm proud of it. I am a perennial millennial, which means I'm a millennial with about 6 decades of experience. And Diane, this is really core to what we're talking about here, because part of ensuring that people believe in you means showing up in a certain way. And you've got to show up with a level of engagement, a level of energy. And if we think of the great brands like an Apple or a Levi's or a Starbucks or a Nike, for that matter, I know that anytime I invest in any one of those products, it's going to deliver against my expectations and then even raise the bar. So as human brands, we need to do the same. So thank you for highlighting the power of the brand, because that's exactly what we're talking about here. And then, Diane, my experience is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if I connect with you and we do great things together, I train you to believe in me. I then never want to let you down, so I'm always bringing my A game to our mutual projects, and then we keep on pulling each other up, as opposed to folks who might be detractors, who are just waiting for you to slip up, who are putting potential pitfalls in front of you or challenging you in a way that drains rather than enhances your energy. And those folks may not be faithworthy. They may just be curse-worthy, right? For want of a better expression. So look, we talk about five very simple facets of faithworthiness, and these are easy to understand, not so easy to apply. But the first one is you've got to know what your top values are in order of priority. So when I interview a lot of folks and I ask them what their values are, they struggle to tell me what their values are. And if you are not living your values on purpose, then you're only going to live them by accident. And then sometimes you don't even know what's driving you to take certain actions. So in my case, I intentionally live my values just like I'm doing right now. And I'll tell you what my top values are. Number one, be fully utilized. So in this call, Diane, I feel like I'm stretching myself to the max and I'm making the difference, which is my second value. My third is connecting with others. I am because of other people. I am not happy if I'm not connecting with really great folks. Loving life and being successful. So those are my top values, being fully utilized, making a difference, connecting with others, loving life, and then being successful. I'm curious, Diane, what would your top values be?
So my top values, and I think you're making the point that your values are what should inform all of your behaviors, all of your interactions. And that is the core of your faithworthiness, is that people know you're going to show up living these values every day. And I think we make the point in the book that we don't often think about those values, but they're so important because they inform whether you're a leader, what your business should be, what Levi's has values that they live by, quality that'll last 50 years, for instance. Okay. So my values are that I want to live with compassion for myself and for others. I'm all about having happiness in all of the things that I'm involved in, and love and kindness. Humor is a real value for me. It encourages me. It makes me enjoy everything that I do more. I am a constant thirst for knowledge. So I am a nerd. I'm always looking for, I want to support others in their education as well as my own. Integrity is so important to me, and responsibility. And we have to be careful with that because sometimes we become over responsible, but I certainly want to be responsible for my own thoughts and feelings and behavior.
Love that. You know, 2000 years ago, the Oracle of Delphi said to humankind, know thyself. And I think that is probably more important now than ever before. And the only way I know that Diane has those values is her actions. So what Diane has just said here, I really feel that you walk and talk, and that's been our experience together over the past 18 months since we started this project. And hopefully the values that I espoused are what you have seen me manifest in our conversations.
And if you fail to live to those values, which sometimes happens, you know it. And it's really important to own that and say, you know what? I did not live up to that value. I'm going to change my behavior. And sometimes that means apologizing either to yourself or the people who lived it. But you, if you know what those values are, you know when you fall short and you reinvigorate yourself to live to them.
Very good. Excellent. So now the second facet of faithworthiness is what we brand as just be whole. And that means whole as a word means entire, unified, complete, and undiminished. So the question we put in the book is, are you fully expressing your power or are you withholding your contribution? How much of you is going unused? Are you being worthy of your gifts? Are you being true to yourself? Are you consciously seeking self-actualization? So I'm always in a state of tension around being whole, Diane, because I kind of feel I could be a lot more than I'm being, but I don't regard that as stressful. It's just a tension that's pulling me into the future. It pulls me forward. And writing this book has been one of the ways that I'm endeavoring to be that whole Mike that I know is always going to be ahead of me. So I'm just curious, Diane, in terms of you being whole and your interpretation of that and potentially your experience of writing this book in pursuit of being whole?
Well, I think all of the different things I've done, the different iterations of my career, of my life, have all been in pursuit of feeling like I'm, I guess, amplifying the strengths that I have, being able to use all of the gifts that I've been given. And I think one of the things, as I was reading this over again, the questions that I think we should ask ourselves, if we're not living as our whole self, if we're feeling that we're underutilized, is confronting that question, why not? What is holding you back? What is there something you're afraid of? Are you in an organization that is not able to encourage you to be in living to your whole? Or are you in a relationship that's holding you back from being your whole, whether it's a friendship or in an intimate relationship? If you're not, why? And that's sometimes a difficult conversation to have with yourself, but it is a really important one.
Oh, you know, Diane, the more we talk, the more I learn from you. And this concept of why not, I think those could be the two most important words we say to ourselves or ask ourselves on any given day, because the older I get, and hopefully I've still got another 30 or 40 years on this planet, but when I look back, the moments I regret is when I gave myself an excuse in terms of not being whole. I gave myself an alibi. I said, well, the reason I didn't do that is because of this person or because of this circumstance. And I know that if I was fully committed to being fully me, I could have blown through or past those obstacles. So now I'm still playing catch up at this evolved stage of my life.
I love Excellent. That.
So now number three is to be consistent across our roles and mediums of communication. And by that, we mean that champions perform at levels of excellence that they never fall below. They honor the standards that they set for themselves by preparing for them. There was an ancient Greek poet called Archilochus, and I'm sure I've butchered the pronunciation of that, but he said, we don't rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our training. So excellence takes practice. And what is very interesting, Diane, is the Olympics is about to begin, and the Olympics have something called a minimum qualifying standard. So if you are the fastest runner in your country, but you cannot run an event under a certain time, then you don't qualify for the Olympics. So by having that qualifying standard, these athletes know what to train for. And they also know that if they don't meet that standard, they're going to be disqualified from the game. So knowing what your standard is and then holding yourself accountable to that standard, irrespective of the situation you find yourself in, is a way of becoming faith-worthy. So for me, one of the standards that I would endeavor never to fall below is to be all in a conversation like this. I've got the privilege of your time. We've got the privilege of people watching and listening to us. And maybe something we talk about in this conversation could make a major difference in somebody's life. So my standard is I'm going to be the best I can be at 1:14 p.m. on Friday, July 26. Now, maybe this is not as good as I was last week. It might not be as good as I'm going to be next week, but it's as good as I can be right now. That's my standard. So let me throw something at you that we didn't prepare for, Diane. What would a standard of yours be that you felt like you could never fall below?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I guess, no, that's easy for me, because there are expectations that I hold myself to professionally as a psychiatrist that I must never fall below. And that has to do with my integrity as far as being a safe. That if you tell me something in my role, in my professional role, I will never break that promise to you. I have to be absolutely faith-worthy in that, because if someone were to be concerned that they could tell me something and that I would share it with someone else in the context of my role as a psychiatrist, that would destroy my brand and it would destroy my professional standing. So absolutely never, ever acceptable. I want to add something to this, though, Mike, when we're talking about this a champion holding themselves to this level, because we've spent a lot of time in this book talking about leadership roles. And I think this is a place where leaders are so important, because strong leaders, they give direct, honest feedback that build these skills in other people. They encourage their team members always to be growing, always to be looking at their strengths and amplifying those strengths and also mitigating their weaknesses. This, you know, you can't be strong in absolutely every place. So where are your strengths? How do you build them? And if you do identify weaknesses, how am I going to find my way around those things? And also encouraging your team members, always preparing for that next step. If you don't create an environment for your team members where they feel like they are always growing, they have an opportunity, they will leave. And, you know, some people get really comfortable, and as long as you're in your space and you're comfortable and you're still driving it, great. But some people will get bored and tired. And if you don't give them a path as a leader, you will lose them.
So good. So good. So whether someone has just joined you or they've been with you for years, you've got to keep on re-recruiting them to the team.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Okay. So let's look at the fourth facet of faithworthiness, and this is say it, then do it. So the questions that we put in the book is, how close are your actions to your commitments? If you give someone your word, can they take you at it? When all is said and done, more is said than done. So simply following through on promises will brand you as a person of integrity. And then we say over here, Diane, but don't just underpromise and overdeliver. Make a bold promise and then find a way to deliver it to the benefit of everyone around you. And I'll share with you an amazing story, Diane. And this is a conversation that I just had this last Tuesday. So I have a client who went through a near-death experience. He was driving in his car. Luckily, he was at a traffic light and he had a massive heart attack and he slumped against the wheel and his car went forward and bumped the car in front of him. Luckily, the driver in front of him looked back, saw this individual over his steering wheel, jumped out of his car and applied CPR for a solid 5 minutes until the paramedics arrived and they resuscitated him and literally brought him back to life.
Insane.
Now, why am I telling you this, Diane? Because that happened 3.5 months ago. And you know what he said? He said, the most important relationship that I have now that I have another chance is the relationship to the truth. He said, I'm not going to snow people anymore. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not even going to be expedient anymore. I'm going to call it the way I see it. When people deal with me, they must know that they're going to hear the truth. And if I say something, I'm going to do it. And I thought, isn't that interesting? It takes a near-death experience to motivate us to recalibrate our relationship to the truth. So I loved his comment about say it, then do it. And certainly from my side, I want to become known as someone who, if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. And I think that's what really magnetized me to you, Diane. And that is when you say something, it gets done. So I'm just curious your thoughts around those simple five words, say it, then do it.
Well, I think it really speaks for itself. That is part of a critical brand. That is golden. You're as good as your word. And I get so far behind. I you know, don't follow through as quickly as I should. And to me, it is horrifying. It is mortifying. So if I do fall behind, I am very quick to apologize and try to make up for it. It is really awful. I don't like that part of being so busy. It is a brand issue. And I think it really stands on its own.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so let's wrap it up with the fifth facet of faithworthiness, and this might be the best one, and it's simply be in service to others. And we quote Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. So we created You Belong Here to empower you with a sense of safety while you take bold risks and win, and we've used a phrase, it's not ours, but it's one that we like, and it's called altruism at a profit. So we want to make good by doing good. And as I often say in my talks, Diane, I tell folks, I'm not doing it for the money. And then I say, listen, I'm going to take your money, but I'm not doing it for the money. And so obviously, we want to expand our brand. We want to raise awareness around You Belong Here, but really our primary goal in creating these podcasts is to transfer some of these ideas to other folks so that they can benefit from them. So Diane, just a final thought from you around the importance of being in service to others.
It's a gift. Every time we give of ourselves, we are given back so much more. And, you know, I often have patients who are so ill that they can't work in gainful employment, but I always encourage them, as they get better, go and serve, go and volunteer, help an elderly neighbor, do something that helps others, because that whatever you give, you get back twice as much. It is truly a gift that just keeps on giving. Critically important to our mental health to feel like we're able to serve, to support, to help other people. We have to be careful not to overdo it. Some people give so much of themselves that there's nothing left for themselves or for their own families. So there is a balance there. But when you give, you always win.
So good. And so I'd like to wrap up by just saying, embrace a volunteer mindset, not a victim mindset. So do things because you get to do them, not because you have to do them. And even those things that you have to do, if you can find a way to elevate the impact that you can have from even doing the have to do tasks, then you take them to the next level. And then you find yourself maybe dramatically or just incrementally becoming someone others can believe in, not just depend on. But at the same time, every time you do it, you are strengthening those faith-worthy muscles. So hopefully you and I have strengthened our brand through this podcast, Diane. And as a result of watching or listening to this, people feel like they can believe in us to bring them even better and even more powerful thoughts moving forward.
I am always enriched by these discussions, Mike, every time we have them. And certainly I have great faith in you because I have witnessed you living to your values and really supporting me as we've gone through this process in a very, very open and altruistic manner.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
Thank you.